Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. I'm so glad that we can connect today this way. This is our 26th Sunday together, and I can hardly believe so many Sundays have gone by, but man, you have been a wonderful online church. So faithful, so consistent, so connected. I just really appreciate you and all that you've done and all that you're doing. And also, I hope that you have a great day today. It's going to be a very hot day today, so take care of yourself. Stay in the great indoors in the air conditioning, right? We want to get back on campus as soon as possible, but just like you, we're watching to see what the recommendations are and the advisories are from Sacramento County. We're going month to month, and I can just tell you right now, it's going to be another month online, the month of September, because Sac County right now is in the top tier category. In other words, we're a county that has widespread COVID activity. So with that in mind, they've asked us to wait now 3 weeks at a minimum. So that's going to cover most of our month. So we'll be together online this month, and we're still waiting to get back on campus and be able to worship together. Guess what? We'll know when the time is right, because God will speak to our hearts. We'll be able to take our cues also with what's going on in our community. But we are off campus, we're still the church of God. And I'll tell you what, with God, there is no distance. With the Holy Spirit, there's no distance. So thanks for being a strong church. I also want to just thank you, too, for your generous giving week after week. I know that I mention it, but hey, we just ended the month of August, and we had a real strong August. Usually, August is a very kind of sideways or a down month for many churches. Honestly, I can tell you right now, I don't have all of the reports in yet, but I can tell you with certainty that August will be a very strong month of giving, and it's all because of your faithfulness and giving and God's goodness to us. So thank you so much for just staying faithful in your giving. It makes all of the difference. Every month when we're supporting our missionaries and ministries, and also all that's going on campus too, as far as in preparation, staff, all of those things, thank you again for helping us just to stay strong and staying out in front. The Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be food or provision in my house, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. The Lord actually says, prove me now in your giving, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll even rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So bringing is what we do, but blessing is what God does. But I want to just thank you. The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I just go out and I just thank God. I say, God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Over and over, you're faithful. Lord, you've taken us all of our lives. You've been faithful to us, or we wouldn't be talking like we're talking today. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for your faithfulness. So I just bless you for just being a faithful part of the body of believers here at Harvest Church, and we bless you today. Now, I want to give you a challenge for the month of September, all right? You've probably already heard about it already on some of our other videos, but I want to just encourage you to call one person a day from our Harvest Church family. Just call one person. We're going to call, we're going to connect, we're going to care, but I'd like you to just do this Monday through Friday. At least call one person a day Monday through Friday, and if you want to take it into the end of the weekend, that's fine too. But one of the biggest problems during this pandemic is isolation and loneliness. A lot of people are just, you know, feel so alone and feel just kind of worn down by all of the things we've been walking through for the past 6 months. So let's make a difference in the lives of others by calling someone from our Harvest Church family once a day, Monday through Friday, approximately, you know, 5 minutes a call, maybe just a little bit more, and ending with a word of encouragement and then prayer if possible, all right? So our goal is going to be 5 calls per week, each one of us. So that's just one a day. You can do them all in one day if you want. It doesn't matter. But if we all, let's just say that 2,000 of us make five calls a day. So what is that? That would be 10,000 calls in 1 week if 2,000 of us made 5 calls, 2,000 people. Yeah, I think that's right. 2 times 5 is 10, 10,000 people. So anyway, I bless you in that. And don't make it a hard thing or an overwhelming thing at all. Just make it a joy, because people really appreciate hearing from you. Here's what the Word of God says. We always want to do what the Word of God says to do. So watch these scriptures here real quickly. I'm going to ask Sam to put them up on the screen for you. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you might be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In other words, we're supposed to encourage someone every single day that ends in the letter Y, okay? So encourage one another daily. And then the Bible says this, therefore, when we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the family of faith. So let's just stay connected by calling one another. Call, connect, care, all of those things. God bless you. Now, we're in a series right now called A Letter from James to You, the how-tos of becoming a better person and living a better life. I'm telling you what, if you'll pay attention to the book of James, you really will become a better person and you'll live a better life because of it. James, as we know, is the half-brother of Jesus and the head of the Jerusalem church. So in writing to the Jerusalem church 2,000 years ago, his words impact our lives today. So we call this book of James, it's actually the epistle of James, and an epistle is a letter. That's why we're calling this series A Letter from James to You. Every time that we're sharing from the Word of God, God's Word is speaking to us. And His messages are so practical. I think I have right now 5 more messages to go. That's it. But they're all going to be so practical in the weeks ahead, all right? Today, we're going to talk about how to quit playing God. Or in other words, how to be less judgmental. So being less judgmental and more loving, that's where we're aiming at today. So let's go to James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And today we're going to only cover 2 verses, but we're going to get a lot out of those. We're going to get a lot of mileage out of these 2 verses, all right? So let's start. James 4, verse 11. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you're criticizing and judging God's law, but your job is to obey the law. And when we're talking about obeying the law, we're talking about the law of God, but the law of love is what we're headed towards, all right? Remember this, God alone who gave the law is the judge. Say it with me right now, God is the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm not the one in charge. God is in charge, all right? So anytime we take judgmentalism into our own hands, now we're playing God because God is the judge, but we're not the judge. Watch this in verse 12. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? That's a big question today. What right do we have to judge one another? So today's big takeaway, today's big idea is this. Let's quit playing God and let's be less judgmental and more loving. Amen. Somebody once said, judging a person does not define who they are, it defines who you are. So think about that before you judge. Judging others, by the way, is one sin that we'll probably have to deal with more often than any other sin in our lives because it's so subtle and it often catches us by surprise. We can so easily be judgmental. It just happens almost on a daily basis that we get to be judgmental. In fact, Jesus attacked this single sin more severely and more often and more directly than any other wrong. And in fact, just think of the scribes and the Pharisees who specialized in being judgmental. So it's mentioned many times in Scripture, yet it's one of the most justified and even accepted sins in today's world, being judgmental. Many times we justify our own judgmentalism by relabeling or redefining what we know is sin. Let me give you an example, all right? For instance, I'm not being critical, I'm being discerning. I'm not being negative, I'm just being realistic, calling it the way that I see it. I'm not a gossip, I'm just showing concern. I'm not a talebearer, I just shared this so you could pray about it. I love that one. I'm just sharing you this little tidbit so you can pray about it. Hey, and sadly enough, we love to hear it. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, it says this, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Another version says people like to gobble them up. Anytime you've got gossip or little tidbits of things you're sharing, people just love to gobble them up. Have you ever had a chocolate truffle at See's Candies? Oh my good, See's Candies, it's so good, you know? The Bible says that we gobble up the words of a talebearer just like a box of chocolates. It's like Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But I'm telling you what, when it comes to gossip, we don't want to be gobbling up gossip, all right? So when we're talking about judgment, having good judgment is a virtue, but being judgmental is a vice. So let's get into this right now. Why should I not judge others? All right, I'm going to give you just a few ways here why we shouldn't judge others. First of all, it's unchristian. It's really not Christ-like at all to be judging one another's. In fact, James 4:11 says this, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Now, James is talking to brothers and sisters in the church, believers, those who are of like precious faith. He says, we're not supposed to cut each other down. We're supposed to lift others up. And so I saw a church slogan just the other day. It had loving God, lifting others up. I like that. And James was saying to the believers, don't slander and criticize one another. To slander is to make false and damaging statements about someone, you know, just putting somebody down when you could be lifting them up. And some people, it's like judgmentalism is their gift, you know. A church member once came to a pastor and he said to the pastor, Pastor, I have the gift of criticism. And he says, what should I do with that gift? And the pastor said, go bury it. Bury it fast. Why? Because the gift of criticism is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. It comes from another source, the devil. Even the devil's Greek name, diabolos, means slanderer or accuser. The devil's number one activity is to slander, accuse, and malign. You all have had the devil come along and whisper lies into your ear and tell you you're not good, you're not going to make it, you don't add up to anything. That's just the devil talking to you. So just remember this, we are most like the devil when we slander others. We are actually doing the devil's work for him when we criticize and judge others. So remember what Jesus said about the devil? He said this, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. What's the devil's native language? It's lying. For he, the devil, is a liar and the father of lies. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you how you can know if the devil is lying to you. If he moves his lips, he's lying to you. Because he's a liar and the father of lies, there's no truth to be found in him. So don't be on the devil's team, be on God's team, all right? In this verse, Jesus was actually speaking to Jewish leaders who were coming against him and accusing him of having a demon himself. Come on. So watch this. Judging and slandering one another is unchristian. Now, why should we not judge others? Here's the second reason why. It's unloving. It's really not loving at all. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law, but your job is to obey the law. What law are we talking about? It's the royal law. And what is the royal law? The royal law is the law of love. That's the one we're supposed to be following. In fact, James chapter 2 and verse 8, we went through that few weeks ago, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So what is the royal law? The royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus said it this way, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have what? If you have love one for another. People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I'll tell you this, one of the greatest things we can do is be people of love. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Hallelujah. Why should I not judge others? Here's the third reason. It's unjustified. Yeah, let me give you three reasons why it's unjustified. First of all, because it's not my job, it's God's job. Let me just say it here right now. It's not your job to be the judge, it's God's job. What does James say about this? He said, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Always remember, it's not my responsibility to be a judge or to be judgmental. It's God's responsibility to be the ultimate judge, not ours. So when it comes to judging, leave it to the Lord. Why? Well, here's a second reason, because I have the same issues as the person I'm judging. Have you ever noticed that? So many times we're judging, but we're doing the same things. In fact, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." You know, there's another word for that. It's called a hypocrite. Sometimes we're just a hypocrite because we judge others for the same things that we're doing ourselves. How do we know so much about them? Because we know so much about ourselves. Wow. So look at the next verse in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you're going to escape God's judgment? And the answer is no. In fact, I love what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that was ever preached. Jesus said this, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." So Jesus said this, "For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." You know, if you're constantly critical, if that's your, you know, DNA, to be constantly critical, it's going to be measured back to you, and people are going to be critical of you. And let me tell you what, they're not going to really even want to be around you if you're constantly critical. If you're constantly judgmental, that judgment's going to come back on you, and people aren't even going to want to be around you, to tell you the truth. The same way that you judge others, you're going to be judged that way, Jesus said. The same measure that you use, the same amount that you use, that same amount's going to be coming right back to you. So what's the answer? Hey, let's be less judgmental and more loving. Amen? The saying goes, what goes around comes around, what comes around goes around, all of that. It's true. In fact, the Bible says, whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Amen? Now, so many times we like to point out the faults in others when we have so many faults of our own. In fact, Jesus was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and you remember the story about the man that had the plank in his eye. This is in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. So if you're able to make a quick aside over there to Matthew chapter 7, you'll see this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye?" Have you ever noticed, you know, a speck of something on someone else, maybe a speck of food on their face or by their eye? You point that out. The Bible says, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? So many times we're looking at the speck in somebody else's eye when we've got a plank coming out of our own eye. And Jesus said this, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?" He said, "You hypocrite," love that user-friendly language right there, "you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." Wow. Good, good truth right there. What are we saying right now? Let's be less judgmental and more loving and more accepting, all right? So why should I not judge others? Let me give you the fourth reason. It's just unkind. God wants us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, and forgiving of one another. But to be judgmental is just unkind. You've heard the expression, never judge a book by its cover. In fact, there's a saying that goes like this, if you judge a book by its cover, you might miss out on an amazing story. There's so many people that I've met in life that, you know, on first appearance, I didn't know if I even wanted to talk with them or sit down with them. But man, I've learned along the way that some people that look like they've been pretty beat up in life have quite some stories to tell and some wisdom to go along with it as well. You know, we judge other people by their outward appearance nearly every day, don't we? It's just something that we do. And then in the same instant, we pass judgment on them. And it's just not the right thing to do. I lived in South Dakota for several years when I was younger. And I spent quite a bit of time around the wonderful Native American people who live there. And so there is a Native American proverb that says, never criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. That's really good advice. I heard someone who was just kind of being smart say, never criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. That way he can't do anything to you because you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes. That's not what we're trying to drive towards, but that's kind of funny. But here's what we're saying. Never criticize a person until you've walked a mile in their shoes. That's really important. Now remember, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Wow. Now, this verse in 1 Samuel 16 was from the story of how David was anointed king by Samuel, right? You probably remember this. In fact, before David got to be king, he had seven of his brothers ahead of him, in line ahead of him. In fact, they were just looking at all of his brothers before they even considered David. And Samuel said, well, here's Eliab. He's the oldest one, and he's the king. And the Lord said to Samuel, no, he's not the one. Then they went down for the next six brothers. He's the one. No, he's not the one. The next one, he's the one. No, he's not the one. They got to the end of all of the brothers, and then he was asked, he says, are there any more young men here? Is there anyone that I'm missing? And then Jesse, David's father, said, well, there's David, my youngest one, and there he is. He's just keeping the sheep. He's just the youngest one. So when David, the youngest of eight brothers, was brought to Samuel, the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. You'll see a picture there of Samuel anointing David to be king. David was at the end of the line because people were looking at his outward appearance. He's too young. He's just a keeper of sheep. When his brothers are more experienced, they're parts of army. They're part of an army or whatever, but they've got more experience than David. But David was the one that God chose, and David turned out to be one of the greatest kings that ever lived. I'll tell you, with the throne of David. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. He was anointed by the Lord. So when we take time to get past the outward appearance and look at the heart, we always come away with a different perspective. We see what the Lord sees because the Lord looks at the heart. So here's what I want to ask you today. What would James say that we should do when it comes to judgmentalism? James would say, have mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. How do I know that James would say that? Well, because he already wrote it. In fact, we looked at it a few weeks ago. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 13. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Here's what we're, and then he goes on to say this, mercy triumphs over judgment. Say with me right now, mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, here's what the Lord is saying. If you've been merciful, God will be merciful to you. But if you've been unmerciful, God will be unmerciful to you. So remember this, mercy has to do with kindness and love. Mercy always triumphs over judgment. We've said it before, but be kind, be merciful, be long-suffering, be forgiving, because mercy triumphs over judgment. It's always better to be merciful than to be judgmental. So now let's end today right where we began. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you're criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, that law of love. Remember this, God alone, who gave the laws to the judge, he alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Hey everyone, let's be less judgmental and more loving in all that we say and all that we do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word that speaks to our hearts today. We can so easily be judgmental. It just comes easy to us. And it's something that we have to deal with almost every single day. But Lord, I just pray right now that you'll let us be way less judgmental and you'll let us be way more loving. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit, you'll do a work in each one of our hearts. Give us loving hearts. Give us merciful hearts. Give us forgiving hearts, Lord, we pray. Let us, Lord God, not be judgmental, but let us be merciful, because mercy always triumphs over judgment. We pray these things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you what, God's word spoke to me today. It's going to help me this week, and I know that it's going to help you this week as well. Now I want to just leave you with a blessing today. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every single way. The Lord be with you all. Hallelujah. If you receive God's peace, say aloud amen. Amen. Next Sunday, you're going to hear what James has to say about how to face your future. We don't really know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and he's with us. And we're going to talk next Sunday about how to face your future. So thanks for joining us for Harvest Church at Home today. We'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. And I want to just say God bless you and have a great week.